just trying to get my breath, just trying to get my breathing because I cannot breathe through my nose.
Why was you all in the camera like that?
I was.
Yes.
I got some boogers. I don't know. It's because I was just leaning forward and I was like, ugh, I hate mouth breathing. Okay. Good day, strangers. I'm Britt.
And I'm Dee.
And welcome back to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
I think that's how, I don't know how you said it in all honesty, but I think.
Because you were sniffling.
I was sniffling. allergies back at it again. I think it's the weather because it's supposed to thunderstorm, but I don't know. And all the stuff is blowing around in the wind. What? They used to it by now. They are used to it. Because sometimes I'll be forgetting to edit out a sniffle. And I'll be like, it's too late now. It's too late.
I just hate. Because there was one podcast I was listening to. I'm not going to say the name. But it was one episode. He was like, y'all, I'm sick. He was like, I just want to let y'all know. And the whole hour and a half, he was just sniffing. I was like, why would you even do that? No. No. I think that was because he was just starting. Because I started from the beginning. So maybe that's why. But I was like, sir, you could have waited.
No, I would do my best to edit out my sniffles.
And there was one guy, I don't know if I told you this, he has a true crime podcast, black dude, and I was listening because he covers mostly black cases. He went to his ad, he was like, I'm gonna pause a moment for an ad, and he just started rapping.
What ad was it for? What
it was for his music.
What? So he was advertising his own stuff?
Yes.
That's great.
I was
that
like,
is great.
No, it's not. Yes, how you do
is.
This in the
Can
middle of a
ad?
True crime episode? It's a true crime podcast.
I mean, he could have started
like,
with it, but
yeah, or ended. I don't know. No start. But I was like, why would you do that? He said it like it was a real commercial. He was like, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor. And it was him.
But like, it was like a serious, it wasn't like us. It was like a serious podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, not that sounded wrong. That sounded, ours is true crime as well, but that's not.
But no, that was all he did. We do true crime and paranormal. And he was, you know, doing it to bring awareness to people of color. So it was all around serious.
Lord. You got to love us, though. You got to love us.
I said, you know what? I can't do this.
You know what?
Because you ain't even. So are you paying yourself? Because he said a word from our sponsor.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
That's funny. Kudos to
or not man. Why not just do a separate thing for your music? Like, you could like contact somebody who has like a podcast about music and be like, hey, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Sometimes though, ads don't be, they don't add up to the podcast that you're listening to, because I'm like, how do we go from true crime to, I don't know, braces. I don't
Manscaped.
Know. I gotta be like, oh, okay. Yeah, Manscaped or what's the Blue Chew? Yeah. Like, how did we go from this to you not being
true.
Able to, you know?
That's true.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, occasional movie reviews, and all of the things that keep the world strange, I feel like. And I do a little singing on the side. <That's all. laughs> We do it all. We can do it. D-Bakes. I act. We could do it all. Self-promote. Apparently, you can self-promote on your own platforms. You know, promote. I do tarot
hilarious.
Readings.
You look like you do them now.
You a hater. Got him. Thank you, D. Now I know. start doing some reels with my glasses, with my new glasses, because I feel like a new me, guys. Maybe I should change my name.
To what?
Maybe. I don't know. Let me think about it.
Okay.
Nah. I don't know. Nah. You there's sure? Nah. Nah, because Brit is like, you know, Brit Brat. I could change it to Brit Brat. Give it a little sass.
You do that.
Thanks.
Anything else?
Anything else? I mean, I could go all night, all day. No, I got something to do. No, I'm good.
Okay. In today's episode, we discuss the Freeway Phantom, an unidentified serial killer who was active in Washington, D.C. from April 1971 through September 1972. The Freeway Phantom kidnapped and murdered six black girls between the ages of 10 and 16. It took four murders for the police to realize the cases were connected.
Not shocked.
I was going to say, and from what I understand, the MO wasn't all that different. So, like, why wouldn't you connect it? And it's, like, in the same area.
Yeah, going through, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, by the second time, I would have been, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, by the second time. Because, yeah, I don't know. Tale as old as time. The police. Not giving.
I don't know what you was about to say. I thought you were going to try to, like, make it fit the song. But then you just said
No, nope. All right, the Freeway Phantom. Let's get into it. I never heard of this. So had you heard of this before you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. From TV or just like from a cold case or something like that?
No, from YouTube. Because, you know, I've been watching, yeah, a lot of true crime YouTubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might have to do the whole show by yourself. And then I could just be like, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. On the evening of April 25th. Ah, what? What if this is the episode that's going to, like, we blow up Shuwait? Because it is April 25th. What are the odds?
I was lost.
Sorry. I couldn't live with that. Well, I was just like, what is April 25th? What are the odds? Yes.
Oh, it is.
Check your calendar.
I did not know that. I just looked at my phone and it's on my laptop. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. On the evening of April 25th, 1971. Oh, trigger warning for.
Oh, yeah.
Was it rape?
Mm-hmm.
Sexual assault? Okay. On the evening of April 25th, 1971, 13-year-old Carol Spinks walked to the local 7-Eleven located a half mile away from her home. On her way home, Carol was abducted. Her body was found 6 days later in an embankment next to the I-295 freeway. She had been sexually assaulted and strangled. She was dressed, but missing her shoes. Police believe the killer kept Carol alive for several days before murdering her. Carol's identical twin sister recalled the days after her sister's murder, saying, "I couldn't keep it together. I thought I was losing my mind."
That's sad.
Yes, it
is. Losing a sibling, but then that's a twin. I feel like twins are, yeah.
Yeah, they have like a weird, not weird, but just like a deep connection.
Yeah.
And she was 13. Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah, that's true. On July 8th, 1971, 16-year-old Darlenia Denise Johnson from Congress Heights was abducted while on her way to her summer job at Oxon Hill Recreation Center. A witness reported seeing Darlenia in an old black car driven by an African-American male shortly after her abduction. 11 days later, her body was found 15 feet from where Carol had been found. Darlenia was dressed, but she was missing her shoes. Connect the dots.
I mean, yeah, 15 feet away, dressed but missing shoes. Yeah. African-American female, young female, teenager, months apart.
It's all right,
like,
there.
Hello.
Yeah.
It literally is all right there. Like, that's not even like, oh, this is just coincidence. No, that I would assume this is connected. So,
but we know why they didn't really connect it.
One can assume. Allegedly, apparently.
Allegedly.
Yeah, especially in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Police had been notified of the location of her body nearly a week earlier. But by the time they got to her, her body was too decomposed to determine the cause of death or if she had been sexually assaulted.
There was an article. It says they were told by an anonymous caller who knew details that only the killer would know. But why would they wait? Because, again, allegedly, if this was a little white girl, they would have been all over it.
Yeah.
Why would you wait? That's 7 days.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how you could even excuse unless they thought it was a prank. But even if you thought it was a prank, you should have at least followed up on it. I don't know.
Yeah. And y'all knew that there was another little girl y'all found in that area before.
Yeah. So. That's why I'm thinking maybe they thought that it was like, you know, like, oh, we found this girl and now somebody's pranking us. But then, yeah, why would somebody do that? That's pretty sick.
I mean, people have done stuff like that, but it's still your job to investigate it.
Like a prank, not like a copycat.
Like pranks. Like there's been times stupid. Where people have called like parents, like if their child goes missing or something. They'll call the parents and be like, yeah, I have your daughter, this, and that. Or they'll call the police. And yeah.
People are stupid.
Because you have people who even confess to stuff that they didn't do just because.
Yeah.
So you still need to investigate.
They were able to find evidence of strangulation.
On July 27th, 1971, 10-year-old Brenda Faye Crockett from Northwest didn't come home after she was sent to the store by her mother. While her family searched the neighborhood, Brenda's 7-year-old sister, Bertha, stayed home just in case she came back. At about 9:20 p.m., the phone rang and Bertha answered. It was Brenda and she was crying. She told Bertha, "A white man picked me up and I'm heading home in a cab." Brenda also said she believed she was in Virginia before abruptly saying bye and hanging up. I know I said that word wrong, but I'm not doing it again. What?
Virginia or abruptly? No. Which word?
Abruptly.
Which word? Oh.
Yeah.
I was not even paying attention. I was just thinking, how the hell she knew she was in Virginia? But then I was like, she's 10. She probably saw the sign, Virginia sign.
Yeah. But then he could have said something to her.
Oh, like that's told true. Her that's they true. Were,
yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, so a little while later, the phone rang again, and this time Brenda's stepfather answered. It was Brenda again. She repeated what she said the first time and then asked, "Did my mother see me?" Former detective Romaine, right?
Yeah.
Like the lettuce.
Yeah, huh. I was
Jenkins.
I wasn't even laughing at that. I was waiting on that. Jenkins.
Jenkins. Former DC detective Romaine Jenkins. Jenkins, how would you say? It's Jenkins. Romaine
how
Jenkins.
You
want
to say it?
I mean, how else would you say it's Jenkins? Ain't it? It's Jenkins. Jenkins. How else would you say Jenkins? Jenkins. Jenkins.
No,
that sound weird too.
It
Welcome
is.
Welcome home, Roscoe Jenkins.
It's Jenkins.
Moving on. What? Jenkins. Jenkins. I'm saying Jenkins.
Say whatever you want to say.
Former DC detective Romaine Jenkins believes. if I put too much emphasis on Jenkins, then it's going
See, believes. You said it right that time.
Jenkins sounds stupid. It sounds like a white person announcing it at the graduation.
But the guy is white, I'm pretty sure.
Romaine Jenkins. No. He might be, but I don't care.
I'm assuming all the cops back then were white in that area.
I don't know, Romaine Jenkins.
You can Google it. I'm pretty sure he was white.
Could.
I could be wrong, though.
Well, this guy, Mr. Jenkins, believes that Brenda... Stop!
Okay, go.
Believes that Brenda's mother may have seen the killer. He thinks that this call was proof that the killer was nearby and thought he had been spotted. Detective Jenkins said, "Why would you let her call home not once, but twice?" He had to make sure the mother didn't see her. So in turn, see him, saw her and him together.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what I was going to say too, is why, what was the reasoning for him letting them call, letting her, not them, sorry, her call home? Like,
yeah. Weird. So, I mean, I think it was just what the detective said. He was trying to see if he was spotted because he had to have been driving by when everybody was out looking.
Yeah.
And he noticed it and was probably like, let me see. So that's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, okay. Why? I'm with you, Detective Jenkins. Detective Jenkins, why?
Oh, man. Black folks. During this second phone call, she also indicated that she was alone in a house with a white man. Her stepfather told her to put the man on the phone. There were heavy footsteps in the background, and Brenda said, "I'll see you," and hung up.
I don't like this. I just feel like it's really sketch, and I'm like, why? Why is he making her call? Like, I don't know. I just don't understand.
Again, he trying to, but then.
I thought they had already established that she, well, I guess there wasn't a resolution to that. Like, because he didn't ask again about the mom. It was just like, oh, hey, a white man. You know what I mean? Like, this white man picked me up.
Yeah.
And then she said, "I'll see you." They didn't ask about the mom again. So is he like taunting the family?
Oh, no, this is what?
These are the same people.
Yeah. It's still the second phone call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, wait. So
she asked about the mom. The first phone call, she didn't ask about the mom in the first phone call, just the second one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, because, why call back? Maybe he told her to ask and maybe she forgot. And then he was like, well, call her back.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. No, I'm sorry. It was I was confused because I didn't realize that was still the same call. I thought it was another call. And I was like, what was the point? Was she calling on her own just to try to see if she could get some help? But no, that makes sense. I mean, it still don't actually make sense, but you know what I mean? Like, it's still kind of just like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it's explained. I didn't want to say anything, but.
No, I think it is too. I think.
Okay.
This was just a note that I had as I was going through, and I was like, this is really weird. Like, why? What are you taunting the family? Were you really trying to figure out if someone had seen you? If someone saw you, then what were you going to do? Take her back?
Yeah.
That's was my thoughts. Okay, so the authorities, they believed that Brenda was forced to call home by her killer, who gave her inaccurate information.
Because I thought it was going to be later, but I do that all the time. I'd be like, I think it comes up, and then it's in the next.
I knew it was in the next one. That's okay. At first, I wasn't going to put it in there, but then I was like, but that was truly my thought process. Or like, I put it in there, and then I read the next sentence, and I was like, oh, well, there we go. Who gave her inaccurate information in order to buy time. The next day at 5:30 a.m., a hitchhiker found Brenda's shoeless body near the Baltimore, Washington Parkway in Prince George's County, Maryland. She had been raped and strangled, and a scarf was tied around her neck. So it is kind of like a game, almost.
Yeah, I think you could say that by him, like, having her call home, and then, you could say that. On October 1st, 1971, 12-year-old Ninomashia Yates was walking home from a Safeway store in Northeast at around 7 o'clock p.m. when she was kidnapped, raped, and strangled. Her body was discovered within 3 hours of her abduction just off the shoulder of Pennsylvania Avenue in Prince George's County, Maryland. Her shoes were also missing, and unidentified green fibers were found on her clothing. A witness claimed they saw her getting into a blue Volkswagen. The lead was investigated, but it led nowhere. So again, same thing. But it took how long for y'all to connect it?
Yeah. Why? Why did it take? We just spectated. Like, we not even investigative, nothing. We not detectives or nothing. And already was just like, I mean, by the second one, duh.
But again, they could have connected it, but they probably just, and I hate to always bring race into it, but they probably didn't care. So.
Yeah, that's true. Also, what is it, 71? How many serial killers? Like, because maybe they were just in denial. Maybe they weren't thinking, oh, okay, we've got a serial killer on our hands. You know what I mean? On our hands.
Yeah, but y'all have a serial killer. Y'all need to do something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We know that, but maybe in the beginning they... I also feel like, too, is politics. I feel like, I don't know, because like, once the number of people, like if there's a high number of people going missing or a high number of people that are being murdered and there's not like a clear link, sometimes it's like, okay, well, that's just the community. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's just a result of the community versus there being like a serial killer, a serial kidnapper, a serial rapist. And it's like, okay, y'all need to do something about this now. Y'all can't sit on this no longer.
That's true, but I feel like they shouldn't, well, not to say they shouldn't have let it get to that point, but no matter if it's happening within the community or if it's a serial killer, y'all still need to investigate.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Because, yeah, I'm not condoning it by any means. I'm just saying that's probably like, that was probably their thought process. Like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It don't make it okay.
I know.
With four girls dead, DC police finally admitted there was a serial killer behind the murders. After the murder of Nina Moshia Yates, the killer was given the moniker Freeway Phantom.
I was going to say something about them naming the serial killers, but I forgot where I wanted to go with that.
Oh, about them giving them monikers.
Yeah, because it's like, some people feel like, well, a lot of people feel like by doing that, you're glorifying it because you're giving them even more attention.
Yeah.
And making it all fancy by giving them a name.
I agree. And then you probably gonna put it in a newspaper. You're gonna have it all over the news. That show, The Son of Sam's, is perfect. Like when they picked up that first guy, David, I can't remember his name.
Berkowitz.
Berkowitz. Thank you.
Yeah.
And how he was like, it looked like he was walking on a red carpet when they picked him up. I was like, what the heck? Like, was smiling. And no, he literally did look like he was walking on the red carpet. Like,
I've seen had a smirk a lot on his of documentaries face. About like, him. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, this is what you wanted. You wanted this. They gave you what you wanted.
Yeah.
So I agree.
On November 15th, 1971, after having dinner with a friend, 18-year-old Brenda Denise Woodard from Baltimore got on the city bus around 11:30 p.m. to return home. Nearly 6 hours later, a police officer discovered her body. Brenda had been stabbed multiple times and strangled. She was found in a grassy area near Prince George's County Hospital. Unlike the other victims, she was still wearing her shoes and a coat had been placed over her chest.
I wonder why he switched it up a little bit, like why he left her shoes on and then covered her with a coat.
That's a good question. I was like, maybe he felt like they were on to him or something. I don't know. Well, I think it may be normal for them to change it up a little bit. I think that's common.
You think maybe he felt bad? I don't know. For leaving her out there like that?
No, because of what else happened.
Oh, okay. In one of the coat pockets there was a note from the killer. The note read, "This is tantamount to my insensitivity to people, especially women. I will admit to the others when you catch me, if you can, Freeway Phantom." Based on the handwriting samples, authorities came to the conclusion that the note was written by Brenda. They also speculated that she may have known her kidnapper. How, though?
I was just about to say, it must have been something they knew that they didn't put out. I don't know.
Yeah, because
I couldn't find how they would have known that.
Were you saying Because you said you didn't feel like he cared based on what happened next, based on the note that he left?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like that was him. That's him, like, playing games.
Oh, okay.
So he's, to me, that means he's enjoying it.
And he referred to himself as the Freeway Phantom.
Yeah.
Did he actually put, okay.
Yeah. Almost a year later, on September 5th, 1972, 17-year-old Diane Denise Williams made dinner for her family and then went to her boyfriend's house. She was last seen getting on a bus near his house at 11:20 p.m. A few hours later, her body was found alongside I-295 just south of the district line. Her shoes were also missing, but there were no signs of sexual assault. The Freeway Phantom called Diane's parents and told them, "I killed your daughter." Diane Williams was the final victim of the Freeway Phantom. And that, too, shows that he doesn't, like, he didn't feel guilty.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He did not care. That's,
yeah.
Okay. In 1974, the FBI took over the case. Their main suspect was Robert Askins, who had already served time for killing a sex worker. After a 1978 rape charge, Robert's home was searched by police in connection with the Freeway Phantom murders. Court documents were found in his home in which a judge had used the word tantamount. This was an uncommon word, and it also appeared in the note left in Brenda Woodard's coat pocket. Robert's former colleagues at the National Science Foundation reported that tantamount was a word Robert often used. Yeah, it is. I've never heard it in random conversation either. So I'm just
me
like,
neither. Okay. Yeah. Eventually, authorities obtained a search warrant and investigators dug through Robert's backyard. No physical evidence was found and Robert was not charged in connection with the Freeway Phantom killings. Robert died at the Federal Correctional Institution in Cumberland, Maryland, on April 30th, 2010, at the age of 91. Before his passing, he denied being the Freeway Phantom, saying he did not have the depravity of mind required to commit any of the crimes. Sir, you're literally a killer and a rapist. To me, how can you say someone who did that is worse than what you're literally doing the same thing
that is
we're
true.
Doing so yeah, you could have done it.
Maybe he's saying the gravity at which he'd like the to the extent, like the number of people. It could also have something to do, maybe, because how old was the sex worker? Maybe he felt like the ages of, because the 18 was the oldest victim, right? For
yeah
so maybe that's what he meant. Maybe. I get what you're saying. I do. But yeah, maybe he meant like, oh, well, that's not, you know, I wouldn't just find regular people. He could have been even kind of like an Anthony Sowell and didn't feel like sex workers in his mind were, you know?
Yeah.
Or like low class citizens. I don't know.
But I mean, when they were looking into him, it was more that pointed to him, but they just couldn't prove it. It was all like circumstantial. So,
because, even the use of the word is still kind of just like,
I've never heard anybody use that word in my life.
Of all the words, you're just trying to sound smart. Tan.
Yeah.
I digress. Another theory was that the Green Vega gang was responsible for the murders. The gang was a group of five men who kidnapped and raped women during the same time period. One of the gang's members confessed to investigators that another member had committed these crimes. After his allegations became public, he stopped communicating with the authorities as he feared retribution from the gang. However, there was no evidence to link them to the murders, which he could have just been fighting for his life. Like, he could have just been saying whatever they wanted him to say.
Yeah.
To kind of try to get out of it.
In 2009, DC police admitted they lost the case file and evidence from the crimes, including possible DNA. The case is currently open as a cold case in the MPDC Homicide Division and the $150,000 reward remains open as well. Wilma Harper, the aunt of Diane Williams, founded the Freeway Phantom organization to support the friends and family of the victims. So unfortunately, this case
remains unsolved.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. How hard is it, is what I'm trying to figure out.
So do you think it would have made a difference if they connected it at the second victim? Well, no, I don't think it would have, because you got to go back to you have to go back to them being Black and it not being taken serious. So I don't even think it would have made a difference if they connected it or not.
But like, how though? You're saying in the sense of like the police still kind of policing, doing what the police do? Like, not basically. Oh, okay. Yeah, I would think though that would have at least given like the people, because people probably weren't even aware. Like, they probably were just like, oh, okay, that's weird. They probably weren't aware, like, hey, there is a serial killer on the loose. Like, this is his MO. Like, all young Black females, maybe, like, don't walk alone. Don't, you know, go out alone after dark. All these other things. I don't know. So maybe it could have mitigated some deaths. I don't know.
And then that's what I was going to go back to. So the first witness with the girl getting in the car, the witness said they saw a Black man, but then the girl that called home, she said it was a white man. So police, they are saying that it is a Black man. He just told her to say that to, you know, throw him off.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then they were saying, like, she probably wasn't even in Virginia.
Yeah.
So
that's true, D. That actually does make sense. Because I was thinking that, too. I was like, well, why? What he looked like. Yeah, okay.
And then that would explain why the police thought that, which one did they say thought that she knew the victim?
That would explain the 18-year-old.
Yeah. Maybe it was like a family friend. Yeah. Because that area is majority Black to this day. So.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure if it was a white man, he would have stuck out.
Yeah, it was like the theory of the Atlanta child murders. Like,
yeah,
in order for him to get them, as far as he got them, they had to be the same race. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are my least favorite ones. So I don't.
Yeah. I was going to say, normally, I don't know, because when I got into true crime, I was mostly into like the unsolved, because it's like, to me, not a lot of them, but most of them are obvious. Like, you could tell who did it. It's no evidence. Like, right. It's one, we haven't done that yet, but like the lady from San Antonio that went missing, I'm like, it's obvious who did it.
Yeah.
That's what makes unsolved ones frustrating for me, is because a lot of them you clearly know, but it's nothing you can do.
So in this one, do you feel like clearly that it was the guy that died? What's his name? Robert.
The way Askins. It could have been. I don't know if he was white or Black, though. So if he was a white man, then no, I don't think he did it. But I feel like the police, again, know something we don't, because how would they know that one of the victims possibly knew who he was?
Right.
That's probably something they withheld. And he called and was like, wait, yeah, he called. How did he get their number? Because he called them and was like, I killed your daughter. So I'm do they recognize the voice? Or, you know, something. If she knew him.
Yeah. I think Robert Askins was Black.
Okay, well, he might have did it. Because there was a lot of evidence that pointed towards him.
Yeah, they just, like you said, they were, I got distracted. They weren't going to hold up in, like, court.
Circumstantial.
Yeah. Oh, see, but even, because, okay, this says Robert Elwood Askins was a 19-year-old student.
Elwood.
Yeah. He had a pathological hatred toward women, which resulted in, this is coming from the Cinemaholic, in him committing several crimes against the opposite gender. And then he had gotten caught for serving cyanide-laced whiskey to five sex workers at a local brothel. So that's not the same MO, though.
It's not. But I mean, again, he could have switched it up a little bit, so.
Yeah, he could have. I would just think, though, if, because, like, remember we talked about just, like, the idea of, like, what are you holding on to? Like, if you did something and you're already going to jail for a substantial amount of time, why not, if you did this, just say, you know what, yeah, I did this.
Yeah. So, this, it doesn't lead me to anything, though. This is a theory that the Freeway Phantom could be Samuel Little. Because, you know, he's, like, he, has the most victims out of any serial killer because he was just traveling and killing women.
Yeah.
And it was around the same time, like in the 70s, the early 70s.
Oh.
Because I was trying to see if they did a sketch from one of the witnesses, like if they saw him. Yeah, this link, it goes to different websites, but it's just articles about him. So I wonder, maybe he could have, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because it was the same. It was early 70s.
Huh. Interesting. Well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, maybe something, like we always say, maybe something comes out. Maybe more comes out.
Yeah. And then I'm going to look into that. I'll be going down rabbit holes. I'm going to look into that and see if I could find anything.
Yeah, keep us updated.
Yeah, because I've been looking into Samuel Little.
Yeah, it is an interesting theory. All right, then that is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? If you have any theories, any additional information regarding, what is this? I already forgot. The Freeway Anthem. Yeah.
Yes.
Anything, if you have any theories regarding the Freeway Phantom, let us know. Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms D mentioned. Even if you just want to say, what up, you guys? We will be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
And thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.